The Senate passes an education bill. From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The Senate passed an overhaul of the federal No Child Left Behind Act yesterday. Annual testing will still be required in most grades, but the federal government will have less of a role in how those tests are used to hold schools accountable. Unlike the version passed in the House earlier this month, the bill had strong bipartisan support. Now negotiators will try to reconcile the bill with the more conservative version passed in the House. Joining me to talk about the bill and more is U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for the opportunity.
So assuming this bill makes it through the conference process, it looks like annual standardized testing is here to stay. But would you agree that for all the good intentions, we've gone a bit overboard on testing?
Some states and districts have, and part of what we want to see in a fix to the No Child Left Behind law is a cap on the amount of time that students can spend taking tests. And we think it's important that students be assessed annually, and we have a very clear understanding of students' strengths and weaknesses. But where there is too much tests or tests that are redundant, those need to be done away with. And I always remind people that when I led the Chicago Public Schools, we were taking the Illinois state test, which made sense, but for some reason our students were also taking the Iowa test, which didn't make sense to me.
Now, the bill does give states more control over how the test scores are used and what to do when schools aren't performing. What are your concerns about giving the states more flexibility?
What No Child Left Behind, you know, was broken, and what it got fundamentally wrong is it was very, very loose on goals. So you had 50 different states, 50 different standards, but very prescriptive on how you got there. We've tried to flip that on its head. We think we should be tight on goals and be very clear that every child should be aiming to graduate from high school and graduate college and career ready, but be much more flexible. I think, again, the goals should be similar, but folks should have a lot of room to be creative, to be innovative, to be entrepreneurial, to help students be successful.
So moving to higher education, a few weeks ago, your department backed away from a plan to rate colleges on things like affordability and graduation rates. Why did you decide not to rate them after all?
Well, we're trying to get much better information, much better transparency to parents. And it's very interesting. We have, I think, without doubt, the best system of higher education in the world here in the United States. And so you'd think there'd be a great ability for parents to choose and sort through it. But the fact of the matter is there's often either a lack of information or it's so complex, so daunting that parents and students feel overwhelmed. And so we want to get much better information out to parents, yes, around costs, but just, you know, what's a grant? What's a loan? Not what the one-year cost is. What's the four-year cost? And so getting much better information out to parents, we think, and students will help them find the right school for their child.
All right. U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan, thank you so much.
Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Let's do the numbers. In Europe, the markets are mixed this morning. The DAX is down slightly. The CAC 40 in Paris is up a shade, and London's FTSE 100 is down a bit. U.S. stock futures are also mixed. General Electric posted second quarter profits today of $2.8 billion. GE is among a number of U.S. companies trying to decide whether to do business in Iran. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, Iran is a willing business partner, especially when it comes to airplanes.
Iranians are flying around in airplanes that are at least 25 years old. There have been crashes.
The plane is struggling and going up and down and side to side.
That's Hushang Amirahmadi, a Rutgers professor and president of the American-Iranian Council, a nonprofit working to improve U.S.-Iranian relations. He's describing a flight in Iran about a dozen years ago.
The plane almost crashed.
That was an old Russian plane. But Iran can't get new parts for its aging Western-made planes because of sanctions. Western companies were briefly allowed to apply for licenses to export things like spare airplane parts to Iran, but
this is a relatively small market.
Joel Johnson is an aerospace trade analyst at the Thiel Group. He says, for example, Boeing has a backlog of orders for new planes.
There's a limit to how much enthusiasm you bring to the table when you have a very strong backlog already.
Even if your customer is as desperate as Iran is for new planes. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
On Wednesday, one of Puerto Rico's government agencies failed to transfer a debt payment of nearly $94 million to pay the principal and interest on its bonds. If it fails to make an additional payment on August 1st, that could constitute a default. And if this same scenario were happening in a state, that agency would probably restructure what it owes in bankruptcy. Just look at the city of Detroit. But Puerto Rican agencies can't do that. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Puerto Rico has more debt than any state in the U.S., other than California and New York. So why doesn't the Commonwealth just restructure it?
What's really weird about Puerto Rico is the Commonwealth has been excluded from the Chapter 9 provisions of the Bankruptcy Code.
John Pato teaches at the University of Michigan Law School. He says a bill in Congress that would allow Puerto Rican agencies to file for Chapter 9 is stalled. Fed Chair Janet Yellen said Wednesday she doesn't think the Fed should get involved. Pato says the Commonwealth itself even drafted a bill to try to fix the bankruptcy situation.
And they passed that, and that got struck down as unconstitutional, but for ironically violating Chapter 9 of the Federal Bankruptcy Code, which they say preempts it.
Even if Puerto Rican agencies continue to miss payments, Stephen Waltz says bondholders aren't in a very powerful position. He's a bankruptcy specialist at the University of Virginia Law School. Waltz says everyone will have to wait and see what happens with legislation before creditors can go about collecting.
Okay, there's a default. What are the creditors going to do?
I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We're online at marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Online digital producer is Tobin Lowe. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.